See, God has chose Israel to be his son, a chosen nation. They never understood. They never adjusted by faith. We are children of God. We're a chosen nation. They understood just on the surface. But what they couldn't understand and never understood, that God said, hey, you are my child. So you're in a new family. Learn to live in my family. Learn to be my child. We go to Lookout Mountain Press lately, and there was an interesting, I don't know how to call it, either a ministry or, anyway, a few years ago it started, well, actually quite a few, now it's not so much, but it was a thing to adopt children from foreign countries. It's a good thing, okay? A lot of family has adopted children from all over the world. Now they're already, you know, getting bigger and, and some families, I mean, took as many as 6 or 7 children, okay? And the families that took children from former Soviet Union, that area, okay, kids that spoke Russian, okay, they found me because I do speak Russian, okay? They're like, help, help, we don't understand. See, a lot of them adopted older children. So I had to, you know, get involved and talk with these kids and meet them and try to communicate, you know, at first, just get it going. And almost every one of those families went through the same period of time. Pretty rough patch. They brought those kids in, okay? They adopted them. So officially, those children became a part of their family. But those kids, every one of them, had some background, some experiences, some life, okay? When they didn't trust anybody. Early on in their life, they learned, first of all, they've been abandoned by their parents. That's the biggest blow, okay? And from that on, it's just a very heavy luggage that they brought with them, okay? And the first whatever time it took individually for every child, it is interesting that they would test to a breaking point, their adopted parents. Do you truly mean what you said when you adopted us? Is that for real? And it's not intentional. I don't think it was intentional. But boy, they would do all kinds of stupid stuff, as kids would do. And look at them and say, well, do you still love us? Do you still want us? Okay? But as soon as they came to the end of that period and realized, and the families that walked through that and actually endured all of that and pressed to the very end, they would say, hey, you have to understand, doesn't matter what you do, even if you end up in jail, you are my child. Don't you understand that? We have adopted you. This is it. You're carrying my name. You're part of my family. That's done deal. As soon as kids got that in their mind, okay, finally, they'll stop all the foolishness. I mean, overnight, it's gone. And from that point on, they're just, you know, they're like, Yeah, we want to learn. We want to understand how this family operates. We want to learn the values of this family. We actually want, because they dream to have parents. And all of a sudden, finally, they realize, hey, these people actually, this is it. In the sense, the reason I'm telling you this story, in the sense, that's what should happen in our case as a children of God. One thing to be saved, taken out of Egypt. The other thing is to actually comprehend, to understand, I am a child of God, and He's a good Father. He loves me, and loves me so much that He will not let me go ever. He also will not allow me to do a foolish stuff. See, Jesus, when He talks about, just, I think, gives us a hint when He talks about the heaven and being the child of God. He says, I'm not of this world, and my kingdom is not of this world. Remember that? Kind of, I'm using my own terms. But He always refers to Himself and His teaching and His being. He said, I'm not of this world. And that's actually very true. The kingdom of Christ is not of this world. And He said, leave this world and realize that you're in my kingdom now. You're my children. Our problem is that we're still here in this world. We're in this world, but not of this world. At least we should be, if we're children of God. And if we understand that we're not of this world, and our God is a good Father that loves us, don't you think that He will take care of you? Okay? Israel never could grasp that. They always wanted to do what they have envisioned. The way they understood, okay, hey, God is good, yeah. If He is good, He has to remove all the hardship from our lives. They ended up in the desert, and the first thing they start, what? Grumbling. Oh, there's no water. Oh, there's no food. I mean, the reality is they're questioning the goodness of God. It's not just grumbling, but it's a questioning of goodness of God. That's what we do when we start to grumble. Same way. It's not innocent. Okay? It is actually an assault against God, against His goodness. We have to be careful in that respect as well. Okay? Now, thing about what does it mean when He said they did not enter His rest? Okay. Verse 18 of chapter 3, Hebrews. And to whom did He swear that they would not enter His rest? I struggled with that. I was trying to understand, what does it mean to enter into God's rest? Does it mean that we should just sit back, relax, and watch the world going by? Or what is He talking about? What kind of rest? And why they couldn't enter into that rest? Because their unbelief. It's not just, you know, disobedience. It's unbelief. They couldn't grasp. So basically, I came to a conclusion that there's something that they couldn't grasp by faith. They couldn't understand. And that caused a chaos in their life. And guess what? For 40 years, instead of about 3 months, that they could have went from Egypt straight to Promised Land, 40 years. They're walking in the wilderness, out of all places, okay? Wilderness is not a pretty place. It's not a good land, okay? I don't know if you've ever been to a desert. I've been in a few deserts, okay? There's nothing there. Sand, miserably hot in the day, snakes, scorpions, and other ugly stuff. And guess what? It gets really cold at night, as bizarre as it is. So it's not a hospitable place. And they're there for 40 years, constantly grumbling, constantly unhappy, constantly looking back to Egypt. Oh, we had onions in Egypt. We had fish. We had the life was so much better in Egypt. Okay? And God said, okay, guys, because you didn't believe, you will not enter the Promised Land. They all die. In a sense, they've been better off in Egypt. At least they were not in the wilderness. But because of their unbelief, they all died in the wilderness complaining all their lives, whining and crying. Okay? That, if we take that image, and could be our lives today. We're children of God. We are born again believers. We never grasp by faith that God is good. We're His children. We never understood that now is the time quit kicking against His will and making plans and living according to our will. And that's why we have so many miserable Christians today, because they want a God as a fire insurance to make them happy and just take care of the future world, just in case, okay? Who knows what's out there? It doesn't work that way. That's why they're so miserable. They always complain. They always grumble. The life is not going the way I wanted it to go. Yeah, right. Because you're seeking after your own will, and Jesus said, "I came here to do the will of my Father." He said, "Not my will, but the will of my Father." If we're His children, whose will are we should be seeking after? Wishes and desires of mine or my Father's will? He's a good Father. He's a loving Father. He will do anything to make me holy, not happy. I'm sorry. You probably waited for happy. But, you know, it's a very simple way. I think you will understand it. It's nothing difficult about it. We all had to deal with kids and grandkids. And I've got a house full of teenagers. So if your child comes to you and you know the level of their maturity, although as parents we always think that they're not mature enough for anything, okay? We're trying to protect them. But that's not the point. We have a pretty good understanding where they're at. We also know, even from those short years that we lived on this earth, we know how it is out there, at least somewhat. And can you imagine your daughter or your son, teenage kid, comes to you and says, Mom, Dad, I want to be happy. You say, well, yeah, sure, everybody wants to be happy. I have decided I'm going out to L.A. I will try my luck, you know, with Hollywood. Do you think you will get excited about it and say, hey, this is great. This is your chance. I'm so happy you decided that, okay? You came up with such a bright idea. What would you say to your child or grandchild? You're foolish. Just think about it, okay? It just doesn't work that way. I mean, there's millions of kids that have the same pipe dream, okay? They go out there, and we never hear from them. They disappear. End up on drugs, end up on the street, end up dead. Because it's just an illusion. So we do understand in life things like that. But when it comes to our own dealing with God, all of a sudden we become blind. All of a sudden we don't understand. Because we don't believe God is good. We don't trust Him. I talked to quite a few people. I said, hey, why don't you just trust God, okay? They said, well, I do, but what if He sends me out, you know, on the mission field somewhere in Africa, out in the boonies? You know, a silly argument like that. But in reality, that's what we do all the time. We think that if we trust God, if we actually believe in His goodness, He will do something that we don't want and we are not ready to do. And that's just unbelief. Don't you think that a good father would do something that will harm you? Oh yeah, he will remove some of the foolishness, your foolish ideas, out of, you know, he would say, no. Okay. And that's where the struggle is, okay? Walking, actually, in the troubled times like today, knowing for sure that you are a child of God and believing that there's nothing He will withhold or allow to happen to you that will harm you in such a way that is irreversible. I'm not talking about struggles that we have physically or financially. In the sense of eternity, those things are nothing. They're painful. I'm not an idiot, okay? I'm a realist. Okay, there's nothing good about when we get a report that we got cancer. I didn't like that a bit, okay? Or, you know, some market collapsed and we lost a lot of money or something, okay? That's a reality. But even though all that stuff could happen or is happening to us, that doesn't change a bit a fact that we are strangers on this world. We're passing by. This is just temporarily. We're here. And we are God's children. But we are not this world. Not of this world. Okay? And Father is going to take care of us no matter of what. One more thing that I, as an interesting thought that came to me, and I've been trying to I've been chewing on it for a while, just turning in my head. Okay. It comes into a category that blocks us or prevents us from understanding or trusting God or understanding and fully realizing that we're His children. I will just throw it at you. I don't know if you want to, you know, think about it later on or just kind of, you know. But I believe it is a fact of life, okay? Here it goes. When we're young, you probably remember that time, okay? We had our lives in front of us, okay? Possibilities are limitless. Desires are great. I mean, everything, we were right there. And that was driving force for us. At some point in time, we were looking for maybe getting married, having family, finding the right girl or guy. Just, you know, all that time when we were in that age, okay, time frame. So then we have accomplished that. At least some of us did, okay? We got married, we started family. Next thing came, okay, now I have to provide for the family. Okay? So we are in that period of time when we are struggling. We are actually looking for a job. We're looking for a career, trying to make some money to provide for the family. Or just, you know, to make some money. And that's normal, okay? Then for us, for those who actually, for some people, that period never ends because they never make enough money, in a sense. Okay, they're barely just surviving through life. And that keeps them preoccupied all their lives. That's a driving force. Okay, for other ones who actually got a good job, good education, or were fortunate, smart enough, and actually made some money that is fairly, you know, good chunk, they move to a different stage. It's not about making money anymore. Now it's about protecting your money. Because if you don't do anything about it, they will go away. You have to. Actually, it's a full-time job. So here's the bottom line. We always worry about something, and it drives us. And basically, we end up slaves of our desires and passions. Things that are, in reality, they're normal. We have to work. We have to provide for a family. We have to marry. We have to raise children. There's nothing wrong with that. And God just told us to do that. Actually, that's His command, okay? And yet, because we don't trust God, we take the responsibility on ourselves, we become slaves of our passions and desires. And that, either our job or financial instability, in one case, is our slave master, or our finances that we actually made become our slave masters. See how it goes? But it always happens to every one of us if we just look at the promised land with our fleshly eyes. And we think, we've got to take care of it. We've got to do it. God, He promised us that He will, you know, He's a good God. But in reality, it's up to me. And that's why the first thing we see, there are giants, there are fortified cities, and our faith is so feeble that we fall back on our backs and say, I've got to do something about it. I've got to do something about it. And there's no rest. There's no, I mean, think about just yourself. By the end of the day, when you come home, the supper is over, things kind of quieted down, whatever the routine is for you. What usually occupies your mind? What are you thinking about? Can you just sit and look at the day that's gone by and say, it's been hard, but man, I'm so glad I'm a child of God. So what? So what that that didn't work out? This worked out pretty good, praise the Lord. Do you have peace in your heart that comes from trusting the Lord? Or you're so worked up that you can't sleep? I mean, you have no rest. See, that's what he's talking about here in Hebrews. It is one thing to be saved and be assured that you're a child of God. It's another thing actually to come to the point when you trust Him as a loving Father and to understand that, find that comfort, find that rest. As those children that have been adopted, you know, they fight for a while, but then they are so assured. They become so assured of their family. They actually stop doing crazy stuff. And from that point on, they're willing to learn how to new family operates. See, that's what Christ wants from us. He said, hey, I brought you into my kingdom that is not of this world. It is so different. You don't understand it. It's a lifelong journey to try to actually just try to learn a basic things how that God's kingdom operates. See, that's what our journey is all about. We're learning from God. Not to do our own will and go against His will, but actually submit our will to His will and be able to say, because you, Father, you're so good, I'd rather trust you and do your will. Although in my mind it's so foolish, I will end up somewhere, I don't know. There's a fear, okay? But I will trust you. Because see, the understanding that He is our loving Father is at the core of it. And I will read one verse and I will finish with that. Chapter 4 of Hebrews. Verse 11, let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. Dearly beloved, let us strive, as it says, to enter His rest, because that's the most important thing in life. That's why if we enter into His rest, things that are happening around us today, they will register and we'll have to deal with it, but it will not interrupt our peace, because we do understand. By the end of the day, doesn't matter. I am today, now, a child of God. That will not change. That will never change. The only thing will change when I see Him face to face. He will change me so much that all my troubles, all my old falling body will disappear, and we'll get a glorious bodies. We'll, no evil, no sin, no tears. That is coming. That's what we're waiting for. But we are here now. We are His children already. Praise the Lord. Amen.